I will praise the Lord, for God has dealt bountifully with me. That's what the psalm says, and that leads us to this text at the very end of the 10th chapter of Matthew's gospel. Listen to these words. It's Jesus who's speaking here for us, beginning at verse 40. Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you," and he's speaking to the disciples here, "whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of water, cold water, to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." That word "little ones" there, I think we see that, we think children. And that's one way to describe children, but the Greek word there is actually the Greek word mikros, or we get our word micro from it. And that means people who are young in faith, people who are still maturing in faith, people who are still on the journey, us. So basically, there's a claim there that we're supposed to care for one another. And then we'll read just briefly from Romans, just two verses. We read from Romans last week, but these two verses from Romans 6, which tell us this. The apostle says, "But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that word sanctification, does everybody see that up there on the screen, sanctification? It comes from the Latin sanctus, which means holy. And sanctification is to, if you will, grow in Christ-likeness, grow in the footsteps of Jesus, to, if you will, become more holy. It's that thing where, like, you never quite finish the race. You never quite get there. No one's ever perfect. But part of life as a disciple of Jesus is to try to do the best you can, offering God the fullness of our gifts and the fullness of our prayers and our times as well. So that's what sanctification means. The fruit you have leads to sanctification, that we can become more Christ-like. And in the sermon today, I'm going to make the case that we become more Christ-like the more welcoming we are. Amen? So now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts find acceptance in the sight of Almighty God, who is our rock and our redeemer. Southern hospitality. Anybody heard of that before? Anybody put it into practice? I certainly have put it into practice, and I've had it practiced on me. A child of Louisiana, I've never lived north of Richmond, Virginia in my entire life. All I know is being a Southerner from the southeastern part of the United States. I looked up on Google this week. I said, "Google," or "Gemini," or whatever it's called, "what is Southern hospitality?" And the little robot spit back to me this. It said, "It's a social tradition defined by an overarching attitude of warmth, generosity, and welcoming behavior towards visitors, neighbors, and strangers alike." Yeah, that sounds about right. I've experienced that most of my life. I will say this, though I've experienced in other parts of the country too. Anybody here ever heard of Minnesota nice? Yeah, they're pretty nice up there. Of course, they have to be nice to each other because it's so cold. They don't have any choice. They're like all in the battle together. I've been welcomed in homes in Southern California and New England, really all over the United States, the Pacific Northwest. So we don't have the corner on hospitality, but we have our own way of doing it. "Come on up, sit on the porch with me for a while. Come, can I get you a glass of tea, sweet tea, or do you want a cold water? It's Derby Sunday. Do you want a mint julep? Come on up. Come over to our tailgate. We've got more than enough." I mean, is there anything better than a tailgate? Honestly. Anybody? They're pretty awesome. You get a good tailgate, right, before a game that you're really excited about. I mean, there's certainly a level of welcome that comes with hospitality, inviting other people in. I have been blessed, and I have traveled to, I think, 46 or 45 states at this point in my life. And like I said, there's hospitality everywhere. There's a sense of general welcome almost everywhere you go. My favorite corner of the internet right now, at least through the end of July, is the corner of the internet that shows all these people coming to America from around the world for the World Cup. And they are amazed at how friendly everybody is. They keep saying, we thought everybody in America was mean and that you fought all the time and that you were always angry at each other. But everybody is so nice, right? It's a good reminder, right? That we still, right? Our hearts still beat in the rhythm of friendship the vast majority of the time. In spite of our differences and the myriad of problems in 2026 America, and we might all have different solutions for those problems, we probably could all list the same ones, right? In spite of the differences of our opinions, we still know how to welcome others and to be welcoming in turn. To give you one example of how we take care of each other in this beautiful country, I think about Western North Carolina, which was much on my mind last week as I was up in Montreat with several folks who are with me here this morning. Western North Carolina, as you remember, in September of 24, was devastated by Hurricane Helene, the worst natural disaster that's ever happened in this great state of all of our many, many years and all the disasters that we have endured. This church alone sent over $250,000. Thousands of people have volunteered there, including even 2 weeks ago when our own youth ministry team went on Appalachian Service Project to Mitchell and Avery counties. They're still repairing houses there. There's still that sense of welcome. There's still that sense of trying to care for one another here in North Carolina. It's an amazingly beautiful, profoundly important practice, right? And something about that, when we help each other when things are terrible, when we help each other in times of need, when we help each other in times of trouble, it's not just simple hospitality. It's something beyond come up on the porch and have a glass of tea with me. It's kindness. And it begins to reflect what I call the calculus of welcome. Now, when I say calculus of welcome, I'm not talking about mathematics, arithmetic. I'm not talking about proofs, right? I took calculus at college, in Davidson College. I don't know if it's bragging or if it's the truth, but I made one C in college. It was in calculus. And the only reason why I made a C in calculus was because my best friend, Frank Houghton, was a math major, and he tutored me like an hour every single night after we had football practice together. It's the only way I made it through it. So I'm not talking about arithmetic. I'm talking about as a metaphor, the calculus metaphor for deep understanding, welcome, acceptance, suggesting to friendship. When Jesus says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, I'm talking about it with him, the true welcome of other people and others that borders on Christ-like devotion to each and every one that we encounter to try to love Jesus in the way that he loved us. It is the way that the great Christian writer and thinker Frederick Buechner once wrote, quote, we have it in us to be Christ to each other, to work miracles of love and healing, as well as to have them worked upon us. Yes, when we welcome one another, we can care for one another. When we welcome one another, we can serve one another. And this ability to welcome others, to welcome each other, and to welcome Christ as we welcome others into our lives is an essential Christian practice. I mean, it's hard to imagine anyone being an authentic follower of Jesus without helping, welcoming, and sharing lives with other people. See, I think Jesus came with at least a threefold purpose, and there's probably more, but I think these are the three that stand out to me whenever I think about him. The first is he opens the gates of heaven to transcend our fear of death. Death has no real power over us anymore because of Jesus and who he was and what he did. The second is he offers us forgiveness. Forgiveness from the sin. Forgiveness from the wrongdoings in our lives. You're going to hear that in a few minutes when we get to our affirmation of faith from the catechism. In just a few minutes, you're going to be reminded about the forgiveness that he offers us to transcend our fear of judgment. And lastly, thirdly, he offers us a new understanding of what neighborliness and hospitality and service and welcome can actually look like. When he calls us to welcome others, no matter their social standing, no matter their personal histories, no matter their racial identity, no matter whatever their life story is, all three are transcendent and radical in the best ways, and all three of them inform the others. While I was writing this sermon this week, I kept humming the hymn in my head, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. Didn't you all know that hymn? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you, for me. See on the portals, he's waiting, he's watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Just when we feel like we may not be worthy to go home with God or to go be near God, Jesus is always calling with this message of welcome. Have you ever noticed how the word welcome and home rhyme? It's almost impossible to say welcome without saying welcome home. Right? You almost have to say you're welcome, not to say welcome home. Welcome to, welcome home, welcome here. Welcome home if you're in church together today. This is part of that welcome, right? This is part of the great welcome here that we have in the Church of Jesus Christ. Welcome home. I'm no genius when it comes to the etymology of words or the origins, but I tend to think that those two things rhyme on purpose. Welcome home. It's not an accident. See, homes, you see, friends, are not just defined by the bricks and the mortar. They're not even defined by the genetic relationships that we have with the people that we live with, the children's or brothers or sisters or moms or dads that we live with. Home is actually also defined by your friends who are like family. And that's all about welcome. That's all about opening your doors and, even more importantly, opening your hearts to other people and saying, welcome, I belong with you. And you belong with me. What you need to know about Matthew 10, our text today, is that Jesus has done an entire chapter of missionary instructions. If you read chapter 10 later today or in the coming months, you'll notice that it's full of all sorts of advice. There's blessings, there's warnings, there's curses, and there's moments like this where whoever welcomes you also welcomes me. There's bits of advice along the way in this 10th chapter. And those disciples, the 12, need that advice because being a missionary is really hard work. It's really difficult to go out and bear your faith in the world, to say nothing of language barriers if it's overseas, or to say nothing of the doubts that people bring to you if you are someone that's trying to tell them that God loves them and they've doubted that their whole lives or they never heard it before. My good friend Pam Drizel, who's a Presbyterian minister, I should say the Reverend Pam Drizel, who's also the daughter of the great Lefty Drizel, perhaps the best basketball coach. I shouldn't say that, should I? Best basketball coach that Davidson College ever had. And if you ever meet Pam, she's got lots of stories about her father. She does. She once said this. She said, quote, in Matthew, we get a clue as to the reward is for those who indiscriminately meet human needs. They inherit the kingdom of God. The ones who have given food and drink to the hungry and the thirsty, the ones who have clothed the naked, the ones who have cared for the sick and visited prisoners are the ones who will know blessing, who will have both encountered Christ and embodied Christ. Who have both encountered Christ and embodied Christ. Yes, she's right. And part of that encountering Christ and embodying him is the practice of welcome. This is the end, Matthew 10, verses 40 through 42, of this entire section of instructions of what it means to be a person of faith out there in the world. It's Jesus telling them how to go out into the world and continue to follow him. And in these two verses, 40, 41, and 42, actually three verses, excuse me, in these three verses, the word welcome is used five times, which is a way of saying that welcome, deep welcome, even beyond hospitality itself, is part of the Christian life and a marker of the church and the world. At its easiest, it means something like this. Before you leave church today, and each and every Sunday, each of us should meet one new person. We should learn their names and be prepared to learn part of their stories. It matters that much. Are there a lot of us? Yes. The summer attendance go down in the summer? Yes, all that's true. But there's a whole bunch of people at White Memorial. You will never run out of people to meet, I promise. Just one each and every Sunday. Better yet, how about in your neighborhoods? Is there any American alive today who would argue that not knowing your neighbor's names is a good formula for community? This is not. Let's go shake a hand, learn a name, learn a story. Where are you from? Come on the porch, have a glass of tea. That's all you have to do. It starts that simple. Is there anyone here today who would not say that welcoming others and they're welcoming us in the manner of Christ is not a really good thing? It's a profoundly good thing. And it's good for us. And dare I say, it's good for those that we invite into our lives too. A really, really good thing. Romans says this today, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, part of reaping those benefits of holiness that the apostle is talking about, is being in communion and community with others around us. The calculus of welcome, you see, is part of the benefit of holiness. It's about kindness wherever we go. Letting the other person, like that stressed out mom in the minivan with six kids hanging out of the windows, just let her go at the stop sign. She needs the time more than you do. I promise. I've been married to her for 31 years. I get it. Right? It's about feeding the hungry. Austin's going to tell you about our latest food pantry effort in just a few minutes. Listen to what he's got to say and get on the board. Get on the ship with us. Because we're determined to feed folks around here. We're determined to feed them one way or the other. It's about that guy at the stop sign or the guy at the traffic light on Glenwood Avenue who's got the sign, and you can't quite get it in your head exactly how he's asking for money and his Venmo and the Cash App are on the sign. Like, that doesn't quite make sense, and you're wondering what he's going to do if you give him any money. But instead of cursing him and thinking, my God, he's making our city look ugly, you say a prayer for him instead. That's what this is about. It's about the practice of welcome in big ways and small ways, meeting the stranger, going and making a friend at Step Up, Place at the Table, Green Chair, Dress for Success, benefits, and benefiting from the relationships that you form along the way. You become involved with them, they become involved with you. And like Frederick Buechner said, in certain circumstances, we have a chance to be like Christ for each other when that happens. Whoever welcomes me, Jesus said, welcomes the one who sent me. And that means that welcoming Jesus and welcoming others become the same thing as welcoming God. And I wonder if there's anything more precious than that. There's no doubt in my mind that Matthew 10, our text for today, foreshadows Matthew 25. Some of you all know Matthew 25 very well. That's where Jesus says, if you do it unto the least of these, if you welcome the least of us, you do it also to me. It's a powerful, beautiful text, and these two, they talk to each other. And I don't know if there's any more powerful word or testament to the power of community and welcome anywhere in the Bible than we find in Matthew 10 and ultimately in Matthew 25. Think of the prodigal son coming home and his father welcoming him and his wasteful, error-prone self saying, come on home, come sit on the porch, boy. Let's have a glass of tea and find out what you've been up to. It's the Lord receiving the Apostle Paul, even though at the beginning of his life, the Apostle Paul was the persecutor of the church. It's Jesus saying to Paul, you belong with me. Come, let's work together. I've got some ideas for you. In the Old Testament, it's like Eli welcoming Hannah into the place of the temple where she was worshiping. She wasn't supposed to be there. No, if you read the laws, she wasn't supposed to be where she was. And yet, she was welcomed by Eli anyway. This is Jesus allowing those who were considered unclean, at least theologically, to touch him. Those that were considered uneducated or poor or at the margins to listen to him. It's Jesus calling them to follow regardless of their social or economic status. It's Jesus saying, come all you who are weary. Come everybody. Welcome everyone. And I will give you rest for your souls. It's something beyond just hospitality. It's what I call, like I said, the deep calculus of the welcome of Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, on this day, as we approach the 4th of July week, please remember this. History has spoken, and theology has spoken, and they both teach us that we are at our best when we welcome others into our lives. It is supposed to be part of all of us. And all of our individual ministries in our homes, in our churches, our workplaces, wherever we go. And welcome, homecoming, welcome, homecoming, welcome, right? That's what we all need. We all need places and people that let us into their hearts and into their lives. It turns out that they need us. So meet somebody new today. Learn a story of somebody in this church or in this community this week. Go knock on your neighbor's door. Say, hey, how are you? Let's have some tea. Let's eat some brownies, some cookies. Like, it doesn't really matter. Just go meet people and welcome them into your hearts and your lives. I think we can do this. I really do. And I'll be praying for you while you do it. You see, you don't have to be a hero. You don't have to wear a cape. You don't have to have superpowers. You just need to be faithful and to say to others, welcome home. I'm glad you're here today. How can I help you today or pray for you? Amen. Amen. That was lovely, y'all. Isn't that one fun? It's real simple. If you don't know, that's from the prophet's Micah. It's chapter 6, verse 8. It's my Old Testament professor in seminary called it the golden ethic, like the golden text of the Old Testament. And it likely is. That's a good one to sing throughout your days this week. Grace and peace to all of you. Safe travels if you're going to see family, or even more importantly, if you're welcoming family into your home this 4th of July weekend. And if you're not, just go out and find somebody. Knock on a door. So, like anybody, like be with people in the days and weeks to come. That's what summertime should be all about. And it really is good for you. It's really good for us. And guess what? It's really good for them. It is. We can be blessed to be a blessing to others in our lives. And in so doing, become sanctified along the way. But only if we practice an ethic of welcome in our homes, in our hearts, and in our lives. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may you hear the Lord say, welcome home, and may you be blessed until we meet again. Amen.